We are going to talk about why we should trust the Lord. Why trust the Lord? I know that these verses are very familiar to many, but let's look at them beginning with verse 5. Proverbs 3, verse number 5 and verse 6. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Let's read those verses again, and let's in unison. All right, here we go. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless our time in your word this afternoon, and that you would help us to see the vital need for each of us to trust you with our lives. And Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Why trust the Lord? First of all, I want you to understand that in your own wisdom, you will go astray. It doesn't matter how smart you are, and I'm sure you are very intelligent, but in your own wisdom, and I'm sure you're very talented, but in your own talent, in your own abilities, you will go astray. Our hearts are deceitful. And Isaiah 53 is a familiar verse to many as well, talking about the Lord Jesus and talking about us. Verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray." Not just some of us, but all of us. We already have gone astray. We're all sinners. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter how nicely we can be dressed. We've gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Iniquity is a big word for sin. It really has the idea of self-willed sin. I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to do it my way. And all of our my way stubbornness has been laid on Jesus. Even the worst of our sin, Jesus suffered and died for. Isn't that an amazing thing? Sheep like us who have gone astray our own way. And so we must recognize that in our own wisdom we will go astray. Even going forward, maybe you are saved, you've trusted Christ as your Savior. We need his guidance in our life. We can't head out on our own and in our youth or young adulthood and think that we're going to be okay by marginalizing God's word, marginalizing our walk with God. We will go astray, there's no question, because in our own wisdom, that is what happens. The Bible talks about how we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so each of us have firsthand experience in going our own way and going astray. We have that in common. But Jesus came that we might have life. He said, "I am the way." In John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Friends, if we don't have Jesus, we aren't saved. If we don't have Jesus, we are headed for hell. That's just as simple and as a matter of fact as it can be. You're not in the middle. You're either saved or you're lost. You either have the Son of God in your heart or you don't. And the only way to get him is by simple faith. It's not by some religious rituals. That doesn't save you. The waters of baptism do not save. They've never saved anyone. It's a picture that God, the Lord Jesus, tells us is an example, a testimony publicly of our death with Christ, our burial, and our resurrection to new life. But it's a picture, a step of obedience that we ought to take after we are saved. It's for believers. And it's a identification with Christ. Just like this ring here identifies me, if I can get it off, it identifies me as a married man. It's a symbol. It's a symbol of my commitment, my love, and my wife's love to me, for she gave this to me as a token. But when I take it off, it doesn't make me not married. The ordinance of baptism doesn't save, just like this ring doesn't make me married. But because I am married, I have chosen to wear this traditional symbol as a token of that. Some people, I know farmers in the area who, for safety's sake, have decided not to wear their ring around equipment, and I can understand that to a certain extent because it can be dangerous at times, but the fact of the matter is the ring doesn't make you married or not married. It's just a token of that. Same as baptism. It's a step of obedience. It's a symbol that God has given us and commanded the believer to follow. But it doesn't make you saved or lost. Some people have been baptized, and that doesn't make them saved, right? Just the waters of baptism, it does not save. But trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, putting your faith in Him and Him alone, does save. Jesus responds to each one who calls upon Him for salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Jesus said that the thief, John 10 verse 10, cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus came that we might have life. In our own wisdom, we will go astray. We need to trust God's wisdom. Sometimes we get this idea that we know better than God. Most of us probably wouldn't be bold enough to say that, but the way we conduct ourselves, sometimes that's the way we live, thinking we know better than God, but God knows best. He really does. And so we need to trust His wisdom, His guidance. Consider this. You know, sometimes, especially to young people, as they're growing up and becoming young adults and entering into new chapters of their life, many times an adult will say to a young person like that, you know, follow your heart, pursue your dreams, you know? Well, the Bible actually says that we should guide our heart. Consider Proverbs 23, verse 19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Our heart, the human heart, is not something to be followed. I know that there's people who have fallen in love. You know, in our Sunday school class this morning, we talked about Ruth and Boaz in the book of Ruth in the Bible. A very amazing story. And you know, I think that Boaz fell in love with Ruth. And it was evidenced by his desire and passion to be her kinsman redeemer. But you know what? We need to be careful that we don't follow our heart. Because you can fall in love, whether it's true love or just lust. You can fall in love with the wrong person. You can fall in love with the wrong things. Maybe it's not another individual. Maybe it's money, right? The love of money always produces evil. It never brings forth anything good. And sometimes people fall in love with a hobby or a career or a truck or whatever. But we cannot follow our heart. We need to guide our heart. The Bible tells us to love God. It's the very first, the capstone of all the commandments. To love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the very greatest commandments of all the commands of God that He's ever given, is to love God. And it's a command that we ought to take seriously. It's God's desire for us to love him. We need to choose to love him. Guide our heart. And of course, the second commandment is to love our neighbor as ourself. The Bible tells us to, I'm thinking of the verse in Colossians, that we need to guide our hearts to love the right things. And so we need to trust our futures to God. We need to seek his wisdom and his guidance and submit ourselves to his guidance in our life. So guiding our heart and also guarding our heart. Proverbs 4. I guess I don't have it in my on the screen here, but Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The idea of keep our heart is the idea of guarding. Just like a city would be kept, especially in Bible times, there would many times be a wall to keep the city, to protect the city from danger. And our hearts need to be protected. If we are allowing our heart to go places it shouldn't, if we are entertaining ourselves with things that are marginal, it's going to steal our heart. Very important. In fact, God's instruction to some of the kings, such as Solomon, for example, was not to multiply wives because it would take away their heart. How true that is. All right. So God says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. With all thine heart. 100%. We are to trust God. And lean not unto our own understanding. In other words, we need to depend completely and solely on God's guidance, his direction, not our understanding. You don't have to figure it out before you trust God. We don't have to see how it's all going to work out. I think of Abraham. He was called of God to leave his family. He's an old man almost at that time. I mean, he's in his 70s, right? And he's called to leave his family, his kindred, and go out unto a place which he didn't know where he was going. God said, "I'll show you when you get there." And he obeyed God and went out. And God took care of him. And God blessed him, Abraham. And so we don't have to understand why God is asking us to do certain things or why he's nudging us in a certain direction. If that direction and that thing he's encouraging of us, we have searched the scriptures to consider that it is biblical, it is God-honoring. In other words, God is never, the Holy Spirit of God never leads you in a way that is contrary to the teachings of Scripture. He's never going to lead you in a way that is going to be breaking what God said. In fact, the Holy Spirit always leads in accordance with the written Word of God. If we're feeling pulled in a direction that is shady, that is contrary, it is not the Holy Spirit leading us. Our hearts are deceiving ourselves. And so, we need to trust the Lord. Number two, why should I trust God? Well, not only because in our own wisdom we will go astray, but secondly, because the course of your life will have hardship. The course of your life will have hardship. God is going to allow trials into your life. That's just how it is. It really is. There is not a Christian upon the earth that has not faced trials, difficulties of one extent or another. And sometimes the greater the saint, the tougher the tests. God has brought great trial in many a Bible character's life that we see, where their lives were turned upside down, where they were in very difficult times, be it Job and all that happened to him. And he certainly did not understand, but he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." He felt like the Almighty God was against him, but he said, "I will trust. I will trust you, Lord." And so the course of your life will have hardship. God allows trials into our life. The trials of life test our faith. They try our faith to show us what it is and to grow us stronger. Just like a weightlifter, just like someone who wants to build their muscle, not only needs to eat right, as we talked about this morning, but there needs to be that exercise, working of those muscles, right, in order for growth to be had. And the same is true in our Christian life. Our faith will be tested. And that is why it's important for us to trust God, because he is trustworthy. And we can claim his promises. A verse that many of you will know well, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. That's not, we think, this is how it normally works out. He says, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul, the penman, he says, we know that all things work together for good. He did not say that all things that will happen to you are good. Consider, again, in our Sunday school class, Naomi leaves Bethlehem, right? It's a famine. They lost their land, and they were poverty-stricken. They move to Moab, Elimelech, and Naomi and their two children in the book of Ruth. They move to Moab to find food, and there, soon after, Elimelech, the dad in the family, dies suddenly. I don't know whether he got sick and there was any kind of warning. I don't know. The Bible just said that he died. And he died obviously early in his younger days, not in old age. He dies unexpectedly. Is that good? And then about 10 years later, Naomi's two children die. Her two grown sons, now married, all of a sudden they just die. And here's a widow woman with her husband dead and her only two children dead. Was that good? Well, Naomi certainly didn't see it as good. She was grieved. Her heart was broken. There are things that are going to come into your life that you're going to say, this is not good. This is, like Naomi said, the Almighty is against me, right? She was bitter. But you know what? Which, of course, she shouldn't have been bitter. She should have trusted God, but God even worked through her frailness and her faith. Her faltering faith, God still worked and brought about his good purposes. Her daughter-in-law, Ruth, insists earnestly on coming back with her when she moved back to Bethlehem. And as she moves back to Bethlehem, and Ruth finds a God-fearing man who puts his reputation on the line and marries Ruth and uses his resources to buy back the family's land there in Bethlehem, in the Bethlehem area. And he does that part of what the Bible calls the kinsman redeemer. And he buys that property back. And he takes Ruth as his own and raises what children they would have under the name of her family, under the name of Elimelech and his two sons that were now dead. And he raised up a name there in Israel on behalf of his kinfolk who had died. Boaz did that. He risked his reputation and he trusted God and did that part of a kinsman redeemer, which we talked about, the example that is of how Jesus became our kinsman when he came to this earth and took on human flesh. And he put his reputation on the line for us to redeem us unto himself. And, well, he trusted God. And we can trust God with the hardships of life. And we can see in that story how all things did work together for good. And Ruth became that as she left idolatry in Moab and became a follower of the true and living God, she became the great-grandmother of David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, in the line of the Lord Jesus Christ. All things do work together for good for those who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Do you love God? Are you called according to his purpose? I believe you are. If you know Christ, if you've accepted Christ, we can trust him, even though the course of our life will have hardship. In fact, that's why we must trust him, even when we don't understand. Jesus invites us in Matthew 11 to join together with him in the burdens of life. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Two animals of burden, two burden-bearing animals would be joined with a yoke so that they could share the load and pull together. And Jesus says, that's what the relationship with me is like. We can join together and bear the burden together in the Christian life. And he invites us to yoke with him to live the Christian life. The course of our life will have hardship. Consider number three, lastly. Why should we trust the Lord? Because the plan God has for your life is perfect. The plan God has for your life is perfect. Consider this. You cannot improve on the plan God has for you. You cannot improve on the plan God has for you. Psalm 18, verse 30 says this. As for God, his way is, what's that next word? Perfect. Perfect. It's absolutely as it should be. It's absolutely the best it can be. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord, the word of Jehovah, is tried. He is a buckler. A buckler was a smaller shield. What I like to call a personal shield. It was only big enough for one individual. It wasn't this big, huge thing. It was a personal shield. And God is our buckler. He's our personal shield for those who trust in him. We have God's perfect will for us, for those who will trust him for it. We can walk in God's perfect will. His protection over our lives. Consider Psalm 84, verses 11 and 12. These are some verses that I have loved for many years. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He's a sun and shield. You know, I love the sunshine. I love the sunshine. It's a beautiful thing. Imagine if the sun didn't come up tomorrow. I know sometimes we've had really overcast days or something like that where we say the sun's not out, but of course it is. And the world would be a very, very dark place without the sun. For even the sun gives light at night through the reflection off the moon. But you know what? God is our sun, our S-U-N, our sun. He shines on us. He sheds his grace on us, and he's our protection. He's our shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. He will. He will give grace and glory. And it says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. For those who walk with God, for as we trust God with our life, we will find God's best. You know, I do remember in seeking God in my young adulthood for a life mate, for a spouse. I believed that God had someone for me. I believed that God wanted me to get married. I looked forward to marriage. But for many years, it seemed like the doors were shut in many ways, right? I was 28 years old before God really knocked me over the head and showed me Kara, and we started pursuing a relationship. And then I was 29 when we were able to be married, and that was a blessing. That was a great blessing, and God reserves the best for those who leave the choice with Him. Let's not get ahead of God. His way is perfect, whether it's in that area or in any other area of our life. His plan cannot be improved on. We can depend on His direction. That is why we need to give our heart to the Lord and keep our eyes on Jesus. We can follow Him, and our life will be blessed. So there's consideration. In your own life, in your own wisdom, you will go astray. We need to listen to the Lord. He is trustworthy. The course of our life will have hardship. That is why we must trust the Lord. We must rest in Him. God will be faithful. And number three, because the plan God has for your life is perfect. That's why you should trust the Lord. We can depend on His direction for us. His way is perfect. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for all that we've heard this afternoon as we've looked at these verses and considered that Your way is the best. Lord, help us each to grow in our trust upon You, each young person, each adult, for we never come to a place where we've arrived and no longer need to trust. Some of the biggest tests we see in Bible characters came later in their lives. We need to finish well. Lord, thank You for all that we've heard today. Thank You for Your blessings of this past week at camp. Thank You for each of these gathered here this afternoon. Guide us and help us to continue to grow in our walk with You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.